righty then, there we go. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. A few little things we're working out here this morning. We're so encouraged. I want to encourage you this morning to say the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I want to give a big shout out there to Pam Gray this morning. Let you know we're praying for you this morning, that our faith is locking in with you, letting you know that we've seen the Lord do what he did before. So if he's done it before, he can do it again. Yes. Hello, John.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Doing wonderfully well. Wonderfully well. Well, I'm excited about us being on the show this morning. Got John Ramos joining us. If you didn't hear us a little bit earlier today. And we are pumped about a little bit of time you'll be able to spend with us. And yesterday we had a wonderful time on, I guess, you know, you got a chance to listen to what happened on the dedication day. And we were just giving it all to God, you know, just laying it out, just saying, Lord, here you are. And it was exciting to hear you, our listeners out there, how you immediately began to just communicate with us from all around the world. And, you know, it was just neat. We're excited about it. It just confirms, you know, what God has called us to do. We love to hear your encouragement. We got a few things we'll be unveiling probably in the next 2 weeks to even make that even more available. I know John's working on that right now. You know, and it's one of the things we're going to be sharing, you know, with you is, you know, God speaks. He speaks. He speaks to his people. He speaks to his people, and he lets us know what's going on. I mean, you look at the book of Revelation, which is a revelation of Christ himself, you know, and he says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's so important because if you don't hear, if you notice the book of Revelation, that it doesn't go well for those who don't listen and those that listen and don't pay attention. And what's so cool about it is that we serve such a loving God. He understands us more than we understand us, and he's okay with telling us again. We start thinking, oh my goodness, he done told me this 3 times. He might not have any more patience for me, but God is long-suffering. And he speaks, and some of the things we're going to be sharing with you over time, we're going to share them in a way that helps you really appreciate what God is saying, because first of all, there's so much, and secondly, is there's others that have really contaminated the prophetic word and the prophetic vision of God, and God speaks just as a lot about that. He speaks a lot about that, as else if we're talking about yesterday on yesterday's program about John Bevere's book, The Fear of the Lord, and he's speaking about prophets and the different aspects of that. And prophecy is totally awesome and encouraging, but there are those who actually prophesy out of their own mind and their own ideas. And I like what Rick Joyner states out of Morningstar Ministries about, well, you know, what a true prophet is and what a false prophet is. And of course, it's deeper than this, but this is a great outward sign that you can really see is, you know, a true prophet, you know, draws people to God, and a false prophet draws people to themselves. When you finish talking to a true prophet, you're convicted to your core at times because you want to get your relationship right with God, but also you're encouraged with your relationship with God. And when you finish hearing what God is saying in that moment, you just fall more in love with Jesus, you know? And then the false prophet situation is, you know, like Rick's talking about, is that it's like a whoring spirit. Yeah, you find people just running after those people. Give me another word. Give me another word. Like, how could they give you another word? Is it like a machine? I mean, you know what I'm saying? What's happening here? And so, and literally it's, you know, one of the teachings we have available to the subscribers to VFN TV at VFNTV.com, it's free subscriptions, you know, you can subscribe today, you know, talks about that, you know, that don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, don't throw the truth out with the one who's delivering the truth. Don't throw the message out with the messenger. That, you know, prophecy is very encouraging. We need to, I remember there was a season in somebody's life, I'm not going to say who it was, and they're saying, I don't believe in prophecy and that kind of stuff. And then you go through something, you're going like, dear God, give me a word. Any word will do right now, God. I just need you to speak to me. And it's those hungry moments, you know, that God begins to speak to us. But I just want to, we're going to begin to share the, and it's just, listen, there's God's got a plan, and God's telling us what's going on so that we can be prepared. And so by staying tuned to VFN, the Daily VFN Radio program, we're going to deliver this to you. You know, we have highlights up from yesterday's program. We have, yesterday's program, the first hour and the extra hour that are actually right there together, so you can listen to whichever one you want to listen to. And it's right there on your a mobile phone application, which is pretty cool. Isn't that, John? That's so cool. You can get around the world.
Accessible everywhere.
Accessible everywhere. Yes, you can listen to yesterday's highlight or the entire program, the dedication of the program yesterday. But the you know, in that, we're going to begin to share with you, you know, what God is saying and what we hear God saying. You know, we know in part and prophesy in part, but the part that he shared with us is like, oh my goodness. And then friends of ours are hearing the same thing, you know, individually outside of God. And when you begin to hear the body of Christ, those who seek to hear his voice, hearing the same thing, you know, the Lord says, I do nothing unless I share it with my prophets first. But rest assured, when he shares it more than once, like Joseph confirmed in his word, it means it's a sure thing. And there's a sure thing about to happen, is happening, has happened, is happening, and about to happen on the earth. But let me encourage you with this, that I believe the Lord has given us, touched us with the understanding of the seasons, the timings of Issachar. I believe the Lord has, he's always kept us on. I mean, when you're moving in God's timing and others aren't moving in God's timing, you know, you look really crazy until they catch up. And then they ask for instructions or directions and that type of thing. It's not that anybody's any better, smarter, or anything like that. It's just that God normally begins to call those that he's going to help teach them, and then they'll come back and they will actually teach others what God's taught them and pass it on to the next generation. So we're going to be talking in just a moment, but we're going to go ahead and go to these messages, and I'll be right back. You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
I go to church. And but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's a lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride, and this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
what
I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
You know, Brother Greg, you know, a lot of times too, that you ask, you know, a believer, a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's, my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, it's not, I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org, you know, read over a little bit. And if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, eight-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited, because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's
and,
right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org. That's so exciting, you know, about the abiding plan, isn't it?
Very exciting, very exciting.
You know, so many people want to do it. You know, I think it's the coach of the Miami Dolphins, the football fans can actually let me know who it is. His son coaches for Auburn or Alabama for a little bit. Anyway, the Landry, I think Coach Landry, maybe. But anyway, he said, "I have to get these guys to do." Tom Landry. Yeah. I was right. It took him a little bit longer. Thanks.
You
man.
Do know football. You do know football.
I do. Right. Well, but they only had like one little thing across their mask when I knew it. I don't know as well now, but I do know the Saints, whether I like it or not. No, I'm just like, go Saints, go. And so. He said, I have to get these guys, talking about his team, John, to do what they don't want to do so they can have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Wow.
And it's so, you know, it's like he had good plans in store for them. He was in agreement with his players. You know, he was in agreement with his players, and he wanted them to have what they wanted. More so, that's the reason why he got them on the team. You know, he's the one that scouted them out and found them. Well, you we didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us, you know, and he has good plans in store for us. And, you know, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go. We have to first believe, like the players in Miami back then, you know, had to believe that the coach had their good intentions in mind. And he wanted them to wear that ring more than they probably wanted to wear it. And he knew it took a team to be able to do that. And we have to have that confidence that Jesus has good plans in store for us. And our flesh sometimes like, oh, you know, I want to do something insignificant, you know, especially nothing against, you know, I got good friends that are Americans. I am one. But America, we're so blessed, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And you know, it's just so many opportunities not to. And so we have to do what we necessarily, our flesh does not want to be able to have what we always wanted to have. But you're not going to have it outside of that. And it's abiding with Jesus, right? It's impossible to bear fruit outside of abiding with Jesus Christ. And fruit is not, I want to say this real quick, like, and John, I want you to share, if you would, you know, from your abiding experience this morning, a fresh word, you know. And I'm excited about you joining us in the first hour today. But understanding that I lost my train of thought with that, but knowing this, that abiding is so, so very, very important. And that's why we have an ability, something to get to you right away. You can go at www.iabide, like iPhone and iPad, and it's called iabide.org, and just request this abiding plan, and you can do exactly what John and I did this morning and many people who are listening right now have done. And John, can you share with us what the Lord shared with you this morning, even in your abiding time?
Yeah, sure can. You know, I love abiding because it's not something that I have to do.
Right.
It's something that I get to do.
Isn't it exciting? Oh my goodness, if you only knew how exciting this is. Like, okay, finally, I get my abiding time. Yeah, it makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
Yeah, think about it. I get a chance to be with God every morning.
With God.
Exactly. You know, I may not have an audience with anyone else. You know, I may not have an audience with cabinet members or government officials or anyone of that type of importance. But you know what? I have an audience with the King of Kings. You know what I mean?
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Awesome.
Well, you know, this morning as I was reading in the Word, started meditating on a thought. You know, everybody wants the blessing of God. You know, Greg, everybody wants God on their side. I mean, who wouldn't? Someone goes on an interview and they're about to get on the interview. Can you please pray for me? Oh, sure, I can pray for you. You know, want God on our side. You know, you have children issues. You know, ever had some of those before? You know, young and old. Can you please pray for my kids? I need God on my side. Maybe some marriage issues, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is God out there? Need God out there? Yeah, yeah. Never turn down prayer, you know?
Right.
And people out there can have money issues. And it's like, oh my goodness, I need God. I need God on my side. Well, there's a little secret. Not really a secret, Greg, because it's really found in God's Word. But James chapter 4, verse 8 just flew the page to me as I was reading it this morning. And the Word of God says, come near to God. And he will come near to you.
So you're saying that we make an approach. We begin to come, our abiding time. We just begin to go hang out with him.
Absolutely. You know, in the Old Testament, King Saul, the Word of God says that he built an altar for the Lord. And it was the first time he had done that. He made an abiding place. He set a set time and a set place where he can just read and spend time. He really didn't read, you know, but we read. Spend time with God. And we take the first step.
King Saul.
King Saul.
He didn't hang out. He quit hanging out after a while, I think. He quit abiding after a while.
Yeah, after a while. But he started out good. You know, started out good. And
so it's important not only just to begin abiding, but just to, you know, to continue.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know, and so many times, you know, we can get into the trap of maybe seeking the Lord's hand, God's hand, but we're not seeking his face. We're not seeking him. And, you know, we definitely want to be able to do that. We want to be able to spend time with him and be encouraged that if we are on the Lord's side, if we are drawing close to him, then he is with us. We can have that full assurance of knowing that God is with us. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And that's an inheritance for us as we spend time and read his word and listen to what God really would want us to know for that day, that daily bread. And I want to encourage anyone that maybe you're not as close as where you want to be. Maybe you haven't drawn close to God. Well, guess what? You can today. You can today. God's promise is that if you return to him, he will return to you. And so I enjoyed reading that this morning. I was just blessed and encouraged to know that the Lord is with me because I am with him.
That's so good because, you know, sheep have a tendency to wander. You know, we go, you know, we eat at this grass for a while and we're going like, that grass looks a little bit green. I wonder what that grass tastes like, right? I mean, you know, we're not sheep,
right?
But he compared us to sheep. And I know that I remember when Pat and I were over in Israel and we're there with a shepherd. Remember that, Pat, when we were there with a shepherd and he was sitting there watching his sheep and they had, I don't know how many sheep they were. How many think they were?
It was probably 20, 30 sheep.
So it was 75.
Oh, actually, it was 26 sheep.
Well, it was more than 26, wasn't it? It had to be.
Well, they were scattered all over the plains. It was kind of hard to
count. But yeah, they were together. They were scattered together. Yeah. And so he was sitting there in his straw hat, and he looked kind of just calm and all that kind of stuff. So I said, you know, let's, you know, I'm going to go out there and see if I can get close to the sheep. And then the entire herd just kind of moved away. We're like, ah! And somebody other than the shepherd, you know, and the shepherd just sat there with his two little sheep dog, and he probably just said, you stupid Americans. No, that's German. He wouldn't have said that. It would have been like, I can't speak. Can you speak Hebrew?
No.
Okay, John can. He's deeply, he's got a pedigree.
Yeah. No.
Diesel has a pedigree. It was really interesting that, you know, he says, my sheep know my voice. Mm. And they were looking back in, at the shepherd to see how, you know, who is this American here in Israel? I don't know if we were in Tiberias. I don't know. Maybe Tiberias, because we actually were at the house of prayer and then got and took off. And somehow we're down there with Karen.
But
it was really cool to kind of see it. You know, today I have a picture in my office that has there was a shepherding contest Georgia, northern Georgia there. And by the way, if anybody's listening from northern Georgia, I would like some more pictures of that. I'll find out what it's actually called. But the shepherds, all the sheep are gathered around this oak tree, and he has his sheep doll right beside him, and he's got his shepherd's rod under his arm. And he's sitting there in a pair of jeans, and like a denim jacket or something. And he has a distance from the sheep, just like the shepherd did over in Israel. And it's just so cool that, you know, I want to encourage you, and this, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to be talking over our conversation that, listen, God wants shepherds over his flock. And, you know, if you're caring for someone, if you're helping disciple them, if you're seeking to, attend a training, like VFNU, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit in this show, but you listen, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for somebody to be looking over God's people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. And see, if anything is trying to keep you and from protecting and taking care of God's people, telling you that it's not valuable, whatever the lie is. It's the lie from the father of lies. It's Satan just, you know, firing, you know, thoughts into your mind and your heart and telling you, you know, who are you? You can't do this and you can't do this. And listen, you know, I don't care who's fighting for me. I'm glad they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And we're doing, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Greater love have no man than to lay down his life for his friend.
Right. And you think about it. David is a good example of how he fought for God's people. You know, when he finally got to the place of leadership over God's people, he said this words. He says, I know why you got me here. You brought me here to protect your people. And the Lord says, you know, if the shepherds, present shepherds don't do it, I'll raise up for myself shepherds. And I'm going to encourage you that we're personally seeing many shepherds raised up. And we're starting to see even more of them start to be alerted and finding out, you know, inside of me, there's a desire inside of me to look over God's people and see that they're protected and that they're discipled and that they're loved. And it's just really cool to see God do that. You know, God's raising up shepherds, you know, for himself. And what's so cool, you know, what you're talking about in your abiding time this morning, John, that when we draw near to God, when we draw near to God, you know, he draws near to us. That is so encouraging because, you know, we got to take that first step. You know, he took the first step while we were yet sinners. He died for us. But now it's time for us to take that next step.
That's right. And we can take that step. You know, all it takes is just our hearts open and willing to be able to communicate to the Lord and say, hey, God, I'm here. I'm here. I want all that you have for me. And once we take that first step, God makes himself available to us. It's just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Yes. Why would you give something to somebody if they didn't want it? And you taking that first step is clearly telling the Lord, yeah, hey, you want them.
You know, think about it. It's not only just beautiful, it's just cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're seeing 8-year-olds, you know, get a word from the Lord. Well, we'll be right back right after these messages. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel which means good news, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, my journey, which is just kind of, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Listen, John, totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. I said that last year, but next year I can visualize, getting to the place, where Pat is. I could get to that place. You know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yeah, it's lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size. At least half the size. But I do have a goal next year. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and look at the equipment and pray for a divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I just can't explain how excited I am about everything the Lord has been pouring into our heart. We've had so many people, wanting to know what God was saying, but it just wasn't time. It just wasn't time. The timings of the Lord is so important. And it finally became time with the launch of VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, and with that, of course, we have VFNTV.com that you can go to. You can, things we're going to talk about, you can find out more about it, but we also have the VFN TV app, and on that you can get the daily radio program, but you also can get VFN TV on that. We talked about yesterday about, is America under judgment, kind of looking at the evidence, coming from, my experience in law is this, you just kind of just look at the facts. You don't prejudge stuff. America's got to the point now, we have a newscaster on and they just throw out something and people just throw down a gavel on them. But that's not how God is. God says, come to me and reason. He's okay to think it through. And so on your application right now or at VFNTV.com, right now available to even non-subscribers, you don't have to subscribe, although subscription is free, you can actually hear that and listen. Just have the evidence come up before you, and we'll look at the facts, and then we'll actually look at what God says. And you'll be able to say, make a decision for yourself, is America under God's judgment? But then you'll also hear the fact that, God's judgment, this is not the end of the world. It may feel like it, when things are coming, Americans, if our cable gets disconnected, we're like, oh my goodness, it's coming to an end, you know what I'm saying?
Pat does. Right. It's only if it's the Saints.
I went through the hurricanes. I heard the hurricanes. I remember. But there's another I didn't talk about. It's so important. It's available on your application right now. That is against all hope. Every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your... and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope. But it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. I have a dream, and my dream is that there's a third great awakening coming to the United States of America, where fathers' hearts are turning to their children and children to their fathers, natural and spiritual. I have a dream that God's people will once again seek His voice, not the voice of others or search engines on the virtual highway. I have a dream. I have a dream that where the more persecuted the church becomes, the greater it grows in size and the fear of the Lord resides. It is a dream that has cost me mostly everything to this point, of which I've gladly surrendered, but I desire to begin this conversation with you through VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. I'm telling you, the dream is that we begin, just like Abraham, to believe God. It's okay. It's okay to look at the political climate and go, oh, it ain't going to happen. It's okay to look at the economy and go, it ain't going to happen. It's okay to even look at the present day church and say, it ain't going to happen. But you go, you can say, you know what? Facing this fact, I believe I'm going to lock in. And I believe that if you and me will get an agreement and begin to walk out and begin to abide with God, He will tell us the strategies and the plans, just like Gideon, to be able to begin to turn a heart of a nation back to Him. You know, I think about this too. You know, it's so important. One of the biggest ways that we were attacked is when the rich young ruler was, coming after Jesus, and he said, good teacher. You know, and Jesus Himself, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the Son of God, turns around to him, and what does He say, John?
He says, yes. Who are you calling good?
Yeah, He says, who are you calling good? Who are you calling good? You know, when you think about it, this is a very important statement, because the enemy will defeat you by thinking that you have to be good. Now, you can be good. But Jesus responded to that by saying, the only good in me is God.
That's right.
You know, we're not that smart. You know, we don't have that kind of ability. If God took His hands off of us, we would be a basket case. You know, Pat's nodding and said,
I know that's right.
And so John didn't budge, so maybe it wouldn't be him, but with us, you know. And so with that, you know, it's so important to get this revelation. Revelation, God reveals things to you. And this particular is available to you in VFN TV, but it's available to for those who subscribe. It's a free subscription. Just go to VFNTV.com and subscribe today, and you'll have access to everything on VFN TV. But right now, what's being made available right now is also who you're calling good. You have to get that, because you have to realize that you're not good, and you can't have people project that on you. If they do, and you may try to own that, and then they'll make you live up to what they projected against you, and then they'll actually use it. It's just crazy. It's a scheme. It's a trap. You know, and Jesus didn't fall for it. He said, you know, Satan has found nothing in me. And the revelation that he had, he knew, obviously, was that he wasn't good, but God's good, and God was with him and in him. And that's the goodness that's in us. So when we surrender that, trying to live it to some, you know, religious mindset, you know, you can actually, God's goodness can come out of your life and you can be a good employee, a good husband, a good wife, you know, good parents, and God can empower you to do that. So find out more, go to VFNTV.com and subscribe today's free subscription, VFNTV, that's V as in Victor, VFNTV.com, and hear it today. You know, I want to share from the wisdom. Today is the 31st of the month. You know, and we always, you know, whatever corresponding day is, we go right to Proverbs and read that proverb or listen to that proverb for that day. So it's Proverbs 31. You know, there's 31 Proverbs, and sometimes there's, you know, certain days of the month, but it never exceeds 31. And so you can actually get wisdom. There's nothing worse than knowledge without wisdom. It's really embarrassing, but the fact that the person doesn't have wisdom, they really don't know it's embarrassing. So you don't have to worry about that. But just to read the wisdom of God, you know, in His Word. And so it just helps you make decisions in your life. It helps you with everything, perspective. God has something to say about everything and all these decisions we have to make. People say, you know, I'm having to make so many decisions in my life and I need help. Well, this is how you can get help, get wisdom. And so we're just going to pick two verses out of this particular proverb today. The verse is Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. It reads, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Oh my goodness. Think about it. Mm. You know, we're so quick, you know, in America to all of a sudden just go, you know, this or that, or, you know, we got to pause for a moment and find out what God's perspective is of what's going on, because there's things happening in our streets today. There's things happening on our borders today. There's things that are happening all over the place, you know, and our response could be more self-preservation versus what God would want.
That's right.
Because God's into justice. But there's a two forms of justice happening on the face of the earth. You know, one justice takes place at the cross, and the other is man's type's justice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, in times, there's going to be a big, huge justice movement, and a lot of people are going to be pulled up in it thinking that it has to be good because they're bringing justice. God is into justice. God's into fair scales. God cares about how you treat the poor. You know, whether when you're passing by a transient on the street or a person who who's holding their hand out, maybe needs some help or needs to be able to find a place to live or help with their family. I mean, it matters to God. He that lends to the poor lends to God. And so our proverb for today is just to realize, you know, our wisdom for today is that, you know what? I got to check my perspective here. Am I willing to give up my comfort and convenience to follow God? Am I really preserving myself and what I want? When I actually slam my judgment or my gavel down on a situation or issue or a value, you know, when we are a very blessed country, God has blessed us in America, for those that are listening from America, and we're the richest country that's ever existed outside of Israel, probably even more so actually, because when you compare the chart over since the beginning of time, it's amazing how blessed we are and been. Our response should be, you know, how are we responding to the, and we've been a very generous nation, but you know, we can be more generous. we can be more generous. And so, you know, we have to be careful when we jump on the bandwagon of a particular group of people that's starting to say, hey, you know, they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But you know, there's times God wants you to help grab a bootstrap and pull it up for them. You know, there's times, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life. Come on, we laid down our schedule and our finances for others. And so he says right here, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And I love our legal system. You know, we have, you know, if you can't, when I was in law enforcement, I had arrested somebody, I had to actually read them their rights. Right. And there's not, America's just so cool. I mean, it just really brings everything to pass where you say, you know, you're about to put the handcuffs on them, or you arrested them, and you read the rights. You say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to have an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed for you. And people say, why are you reading them their rights? Why would you do that? Well, for, that's the Constitution, by the way. That you're reading the Constitution because they're a citizen of America. But also, look what God said. God's sitting here saying to defend them. I mean, you don't really know. Things can look really bad, but you know, it's okay. Let God. God is just. God's into justice. God will deal with things. Things will work its way out, you know what I mean, in time. But how we respond to people, for the very fact that we pause and say, listen, you're important. We really don't know all the details yet or not. We're going to let the judge determine this. We're going to let a jury of your peers look at all this. So I want to tell you your rights because I'm not going to be the one that's judging you. And then they actually, some of them, you know, remain silent. Some of them talk, you know, and some of them get an attorney. And if they can't afford one, America says, we will appoint one for you. It's called a public defender. And it lines right up, doesn't it, with Proverbs right there.
It does. And even for those, you know, for us believers, James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And so it's so important what you're saying, Greg. You know, faith, actions, supporting the poor and being there for them is really exercising our faith. It's really being there for those who are less fortunate.
Which is cool because the mindsets and everything you're hearing, you know, with all this partyism and stuff going on, we got to be careful that we're in this world but not of this world. We're supposed to be good citizens of whatever nation that we're in. And God does expect us to function in the context of the authority that's there. But our King is Jesus. You know, and he does have, we'll find out in our conversation, he tells us how to relate in other kingdoms. We're supposed to be good citizens where we're at. So we're not a threat to any kingdom. And I was talking to Yulong, hello out there, Yulong in China, you know, that, you know, the Chinese government was concerned about the church coming in because they were concerned about how the Roman church comes in about setting up their kingdom. You know, Rome has the papacy and they literally have their own sovereign government. And so they were a threat. They were a threat to China. Mm. And I never thought about this when Yulong was talking to me about it. And we're not supposed to be setting up our kingdoms in this world. You know, our kingdom is with God and the kingdom of God comes in our heart. And everything around us benefits when we submit to our King, and we're not going to be a detriment to you. We're actually going to be a positive influence because we're going to, when you punch us in one cheek, we're going to turn the other cheek. When you ask us to go 1 mile, we'll go 2 miles. Now, you know, since I hadn't started my fitness program yet, I may have to, you know, drive you that extra mile, but we're just a little bit different right there. But we're
carry it, you know, he can with you.
Yeah, I'll be right back after this message. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
I have it hanging on my wall.
That's fine.
But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. Well, you know, John, I was thinking also this morning about, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, we always talk about God's news behind the news. You know, what is, first of all, look at the actual news that's taking place. And, you know, we just found out that there has been a shooting in Washington State, and over six people have been shot. But I don't know the details on it. But, Lord, we just lift up those people's as law enforcement right now. We just pray for justice, God, that you would just stop the situation, those families, that you would comfort them, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, we don't know all the details right now, but we would just say, Lord, that we ask you, Lord, just to be amongst the people in that community and protect them from this. We ask it in Jesus' name. You know, John, I want to talk about Syria this morning. You know, when the Middle East is really hard to understand for some reason to Americans, it seems that we don't grasp it. And, Syria is in civil war. The United Nations is involved. The Muslim Brotherhood's involved. Of course, the leader of Syria is involved. We have, but America's not involved. And you have to understand geographically. I mean, we're so used to big things in America, you know, that it's not just our food that's big, that our states are big. And when you think about Syria's southern border touches the northern border of Israel. As a matter of fact, Pat, do you remember when we were there in Israel and we were praying over the borders and we were up on the northern border?
All right, yeah, we were standing on the borders.
Yeah, and we were looking over at the guards, the Lebanon guards, the mm-hmm. Lebanese guards and Syrian guards. And first I want to, anyway, we'll talk about that in a moment. So that, you know, when you're talking, it matters what happens to Israel. It's horrific, first of all, what's taking place in Syria. My goodness, it's like the Syrian people are being treated like pawns in the midst of this battle for power. And they're massacring children and women, and it's just horrific. And what they're wanting to do is take over the hat, if you would, of Israel, the top of Israel. You know, as they're strategizing. And the Word of God says that all nations, you know, Israel will be a trembling cup and all the nations will turn against Israel. But, you know, of course, we at VFN TV and the daily radio program stand with Israel, and we're members of CUFI, and we have, you know, we support Israel. And, but this is very, very important what's taking place in Syria. So I encourage you to be able to be aware of what's happening. Don't just kind of brush over it. Realize that, you know, the northern border of Israel, and at some point, you know, Israel's only like 60 miles wide. I mean, you think about that, you know. And, yeah, and then you have Lebanon that's on the northern borders of Israel, and then you have Syria that's on the northern borders of Israel. And there's turbulence.
And it's just so close.
It's very close.
I remember being in the Dead Sea and just looking like right on the other side. You know, it's like, yes. Oh my goodness.
Yes, exactly. And that, and then you have Iran, who was on the other side of Iraq, who has openly stated they want to be able to destroy Israel and push them into the sea. And that in our own leaders in our own country have probably the worst case that we've, that America's maybe have ever known, has not stood with Israel and has done things like empowering the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, it was our president that went to that speech in Cairo and invited 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to come in, and they were banned by President Mubarak at that time from Egypt, but our president had them invited to his speech. And mysteriously now, the president, former president of Egypt, is now in prison, and the Muslim Brotherhood is running for president at this moment of right. Egypt.
Right. I believe he didn't even show up to the speech himself.
Yes, he did. He didn't show up because the ones that he had banned had been there. And we literally empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to. And the first thing they did as soon as they locked up President Barack is they drove Israel's ambassador back into Israel, and they're wanting to cut any kind of treaty with Israel. At the same time while that's going on, we sent them $1.3 billion, I believe, yeah, $1.3 billion. And now it's like, oh my goodness, you know, we have more about this. You know, you can subscribe at VFNTV.com and find out, you know, about these issues that we're talking about it. But understand this, that we can't ever, how we treat Israel is how we're going to be treated. And we have totally disrespected Israel, the prime minister. By the way, Israel's going to win, you know, and we've been praying for Benjamin Netanyahu for quite some time now. And in some of the areas that we prayed for, I'm looking at Time Magazine right here. In the front cover, it says, King Bibi, he conquers Israel. And what happened was he was going to declare an election because they had to get unified in what was taking place to be able to defend themselves. And they were divided for a while there, but now they're all, the government's united. They say, we don't need the election. We can do this thing. And now they're actually focusing on, you know, responding to the threats, the nuclear threats coming out of Iran. But it's not just Iran, it's all around them. And
right.
And I love what he says and what Israel says, you know, is that we have a right to exist. And the truth is, they have a right to live. They have a right to exist. And we got, you know, God really began to speak to us last year and just kind of go deeper in our perspective, trying to search out his perspective for Israel. And we love Israel. You know, their God is our God, and their people is our people. You know, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we love Israel, and we want to understand this, that in our time is running short at this first hour, it's about to come to a close. But I want to say this, that pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for Israel. Realize that, you know, thousands of missiles have already been shot in from Lebanon into the northern border, up into Israel. There's bomb shelters. Matter of fact, we helped to actually get a bomb shelter there for Israel. And they have bomb shelters for bus stops that they can run into to be able to be protected. And it's horrific what's taken place, you know, in it's just we wouldn't tolerate that for the least. We wouldn't tolerate it for the least. You know what I'm saying? We would just like, OK, we're going to push you off the face of the earth. And so they're about to retaliate. It's probably going to happen before November, you know, I would think. And so we want to be able to pray, stay informed. We're going to try to keep you informed right there. Well, I want to say those in our first hour, about to start our second hour here. John, I just thank you so much for joining us on this morning's program.
It was a pleasure being with you, Greg.
Well, I hope you have a blessed day, and hopefully we'll be seeing you soon on VFN Radio. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you guys in the second hour.